Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Sometimes it's really interesting to go behind the scenes. You know, pull back the curtain and see what's there. This week's stories do just that. It begins with Lindsay Edwards, a local realtor who has raised about $100,000 for Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center over the past few years. Besides her own donations, she has trekked across the Sahara Desert and the Purcell Mountains in British Columbia to raise money. Her efforts were honored last week with the presentation of the Northumberland YMCA Peace Medal for 2021. You will hear her story and what motivates her to raise money for Cornerstone. I'm so pleased to have with me today Lindsay Edwards, volunteer and fundraiser for Cornerstone and a local realtor. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you were to meet someone for the first time and you had to introduce yourself, what would you say?
I guess I would say I'm a realtor. I love local and I love giving back to my community.
Now, how did the relationship between yourself and Cornerstone begin?
I do. So I work for Royal LePage, and Royal LePage has a shelter foundation. So it's a shelter-based foundation, of course. It's nationwide, and any of the monies that we fundraise comes back to our local women's shelter. So I've been with Royal LePage for most of my time as a realtor, and it was just that natural progression. So I got to know the girls at Cornerstone really well, thankfully, and it's just kind of grown into a really great relationship, and I look forward to all of my encounters with them.
So how did the relationship build then going forward from there?
I guess because there were so many, you know, one-on-one kind of conversations back in that 2018 to 2019 timeframe, I just really got to know Carly and Janelle and Nancy all at the shelter. And I just saw what amazing work they did. I had the privilege of meeting some of the women, specifically one woman that used the shelter, that survived, you know, all of those horrific things where home isn't a safe place. And it just made me want to give more and do more and just kind of pull the community into giving back to Cornerstone and realizing what a treasure they are to Northumberland County.
Tell me more about that encounter with that woman and other women that you've met from the shelter. And can you explain how it moved you personally to become so interested in Cornerstone and its work?
Yeah, for sure. So it was, I met this one woman. It was just prior to me leaving for the Sahara Desert Trek in 2019. And I had asked, I think it was Janelle at the time, if I could talk to somebody who was willing, you know, who had spent some time in this shelter, who had, you know, come out the other side stronger than ever. And just so I could carry that feeling with me when I was doing my trek. So it's 100, at that point, it was 100 kilometers across the Sahara Desert. So I met with this lady who still lives in Coburg, and we talked and we both cried, actually. And she, you know, she said to me, "I can't believe how brave you are for doing this, you know, for heading off to Africa to do this walk across the desert for, you know, for women like me." And I looked at her thinking that, you know, how can she think that I'm brave for, you know, choosing to do this? whereas she had no choice and had to live through such a horrific time in her life. And it moved me to tears. It still moves me to tears now thinking of it, and just what these women have to go through. I can't help but, you know, want to give back where I can.
What is it about it that touches you so deeply and therefore motivates you to do this fundraising?
So I guess the easy answer is, you know, I'm in the business of finding people shelter. And, you know, 15 years ago when I got into this, it was never, you know, you just assumed everybody's shelter was safe. I sell them a house. I assume this is going to be a place where they love and they grow and all of that. And it wasn't until, with Roy LePage and getting to know the Roy LePage Shelter Foundation, and then getting to know, you know, that local arm of Cornerstone, that unfortunately not every woman is safe at home, and not every child is safe at home. So I think, you know, just knowing that every day I'm finding shelter, and in the back of my head, I know that, you know, there's a chance that it may not be safe. So if I can give back, and if I can find the funds and the community to rally to, you know, to open up more beds so that Cornerstone can, you know, do a renovation, because they're always at capacity, and especially through COVID, you know, even more so because of restrictions. So, you know, as long as people have somewhere to go, whether it's through shelter or whether it's through counseling and all of the counseling before and after. And I just think, you know, we don't always think that it's not safe. I grew up in a safe home. I live in a safe home now, but I know that's not the case for everybody. So.
What is it about walking that attracts you? I mean, you started small in 2019, you walked from Coburg to Belleville to raise money. So what is it about walking that you seem to,
I don't know,
have a passion for?
I have zero passion for walking. Let me preface that. I don't know. I guess I'm just always looking for something a little different to be able to, you know, to bring awareness to the cause and to the organization. And I'm not one to, you know, knock on somebody's door and say, hey, you know, can I get some money for this cause? It's always an event, or it's always some kind of idea that catches people's attention. And it's that idea of giving without, you know, having to make that hard ask. And you know, everybody's at different stages in their lives, and you know, whether it's $5 or you know, whatever we end up raising from each person, it's just the walking is just kind of it's the hook, I suppose, at the end of the day, but by no means is it something that I love to do.
So how do you prepare for these walks that you do? Is there something special? Do you have special equipment?
Well, thankfully we've got a great outfitter in town. So Green Canoe downtown has outfitted all of you know, the last two walks that I have done. So the Sahara and then the Rocky Mountains in BC just a few months ago. And then my walk from Coburg to Belleville. So you know, again, it's supporting local, and they're the best that local absolutely has in Coburg. But short of that, again, it's just me jumping into it. So my Coburg to Belleville walk was the kind of the precursor to Sahara, and my feet after that, it was not good. You know, I thought, oh, it'll be easy. What's 2 days of walking along Highway 2 into Belleville? And proper foot care. I was taught that lesson pretty quickly on those 2 days.
Get ready. You just go.
I just go.
Holy
cow. I know. There's probably much better ways of doing these things, but I've always been a procrastinator, and I just kind of hop to it. Earlier this year, I had torn my meniscus, and I knew that going into the Rocky Mountains, and you know, you just keep going. There was no way I wouldn't do it. So,
yeah. For those of us who are not familiar with anatomy, meniscus is where and how does it affect you?
Oh, sorry, my knee. So I tore the meniscus in my knee and my ACL and MCL, but they were just strained. So I actually had I had surgery last week, which was nice. So it's already feeling very much. It's really feeling much better than it had.
Maybe could you give us a little more detail about these incredibly long walks before we get talking about them specifically? Sure. It sounded to me as if the Ontario Real Estate Foundation had some organizational role to play. So could you just explain, for those of us who don't understand it, how that works and how you are able to participate and therefore raise money?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's actually, so these are, they're run through Royal LePage and the Royal LePage Shelter Foundation specifically. So it's Royal LePage agents that apply to do these walks. So anybody across Canada, because we're a Canadian company, and we apply when we, you know, anybody who wants to do them can apply to the Shelter Foundation. It's a pretty long application process. They ask us a ton of questions, you know, much like what we're talking about right now, like why do I want to do it? And, you know, and where is it going and all of that. So there's all of that. And then it's just, we find out that if we get on it or if we don't get into it, and then we just kind of go on our way. And each applicant, you know, has their own ideas on how they want to raise money. And like I kind of mentioned, I'm a let's do an event and try to raise money that way. So that's where I've kind of turned to anyways.
So can you share a bit about that trip to the Sahara Desert? For those of us who have never been to the Sahara, what was it like?
It was absolutely incredible, and I would do it again. So yeah, it was never on a bucket list of mine, but it sounds, you know, it sounded really tough and it sounded really neat. So I think that was my, you know, that was kind of, again, the hook to get me into it. And you know, there's this neat adventure that you can go on and raise a ton of money for your local women's shelter. So they had me right away. But you know, just flying in and getting off the plane and just the, I've never seen anything like it. But it was a lot of long, you know, flat walking, hard sand, soft sand, and then there were the dunes that we would do on the other days. And just an incredible sight and an incredible country that I probably would never have been to otherwise.
And who picks up the expenses for the trip itself, the flying over, the supplies, those kinds of things?
So we do. So each applicant is responsible for all their own expenses. So you know, from the flights to the insurance to the cost, a lot of it is offset by the Royal LePage Shelter Foundation, but 100% of the funds goes back to you know, essentially goes back to the cause. So it's not, by no means are any of our expenses being paid for, you know, by our donors.
Since that Sahara trip, you did take on another fundraiser in between. And so before we talk about the most recent one, you started a fundraiser called Flocked for Shelter. What's the story behind this unique idea?
The funny thing is, it was actually one of my fundraisers for the Sahara Desert trek. So that was the first year that it started. And this year being the third year. But it was just trying to find unique ways to raise money. And, you know, I was online trying to figure things out. And, you know, I came upon this idea that, that other people had done. So, you know, for different reasons. And I've tried to figure out a catchy name and in a way that we can make it work for this case. So Flock for Shelter was kind of, you know, honed, and we went on a trip of trying to figure out where we were going to get all of these flamingos. So I currently have 11 dozen flamingos in my shed, that, you know, during the season of flocking, they're all over Northumberland County. So people really took to it. It was a fun way, again, not to ask directly for money, but for people to kind of welcome Royal LePage, the Shelter Foundation, and Cornerstone onto their lawns and put a smile on somebody's face.
So for those of us who are not familiar with Flocked for Shelter, explain how it works.
For sure. So essentially, you know, so let's say I wanted to flock you. So I would sign up I would let the person know who was flocking, who I wanted to flock, if it was for a birthday, perhaps. I had a few different signs made up, like a, you know, a happy flocking birthday, and, you know, or just a you've been flocked. And so the I would end up, you know, bringing over a flock of flamingos, whether that's one dozen, which is essentially the flock. Sometimes people would do two dozen flocks, and they would just, they would end up on your doorstep or on your lawn for the next couple of days with a nice big banner. And, people really took to it. It was fun. And, bright pink flamingos, nobody gets angry at bright pink flamingos, I don't think.
Next, you decided to go on a 100-kilometer hike through the Purcell Mountains in British Columbia, and you did not go on a set trail, I understand, but foraged a pathway through. So, first of all, what do you pack when you go on this kind of a trip?
So the Purcell Mountains were, it was a much different trip than the Sahara, I will say that. So in the Sahara, we had our backpacks that we would carry each day, but we also had our big duffel bags that that were driven to the campsites each night. Whereas in the Purcell Mountains, everything we had for day and night were on our back. So it was a much different camping trip just from that perspective, and hiking, you know, with everything that we have. So trying to not overpack, which is, I think, everybody's, you know, problem. Certainly my problem, keeping everything as light as possible. But so yeah, it was a different trip from that perspective. And again, it was a completely different terrain. So we are literally climbing mountains and sleeping in tents all by yourself, because again, you know, trying to keep you know, COVID as at the forefront and understanding health and safety. So there was that. And again, Sahara was super hot in the day and very cold at night, and much the same in August in BC. So through the day, I think it was almost hotter in BC this time around, and even colder at night. It was just, so it was that temperature that really kind of played with you as well. But certainly the most grueling thing that I would say 99% of us have ever done in our lives, and none of us were prepared for, you know, no easy, you know, easy kind of trails. There was never a trail that we were on. So I can absolutely say I climbed mountains for Cornerstone, and I would do it again.
What do you eat?
You know what? It was some of the best food. We had camp staff at each of the camps. So they helicoptered each of them in. So for each of the six nights, somebody was there and they had the food prepared, and it was absolutely incredible. So it wasn't, you know, dehydrated food by any means. We ate well, we were lucky from that regard, and just really good people involved. So Black Feather, it's actually an Ontario company. They're an outfitting company, and they kind of ran it from BC and just did an incredible job. The guides knew exactly what they were doing, and three quarters of us would still be in the Purcell Mountains if we didn't have those people to help us there.
What is a memorable moment from the trip?
I think it was probably the hottest day, and we were just sweating from every pore in our body. And, you know, it was only a few more kilometers and only a few more kilometers. And finally those last couple kilometers when you didn't think that you could do it anymore. And I think, you know, every other day it was bearable, and you knew you could get from, you know, from here to there. And that day, I think just with the heat and everything else, and it was flat, and then you were going up, you know, steep mountains, and you're trying to climb up this mudslide, and finally getting to a point in the forest, it was just beautiful. And we're sitting on a log, and we're eating snacks, because what they sent us on day one, they sent us with this like big kind of like a freezer Ziploc bag, just full of anything and everything. You know, there's Werther's, there's granola bars, there's all of these candies, and just sitting there and just enjoying each other's company and just talking about, you know, why we're here. And at that point, it was just, it all just kind of came together. It was absolutely the hardest day. And that was easily the nicest place that we could have ever stopped. And you know, sitting there and remembering that right now, I could easily do it again. The other interesting thing is too, so each day, and this went in the Sahara as well, each day right around lunchtime before we headed back out, we would read a story of that a woman or a survivor or the family of a survivor had written and had shared with the Royal LePage Shelter Foundation. So each day was kind of, it was brought back to exactly why we were there and why we were raising all of this money. And, you know, in some days it was a survivor talking about, you know, what they went through, the, you know, being in shelter. And some days it was a family member talking about the support they got after the fact, because their loved one didn't make it, because domestic violence took their life. And, you know, it reminds you, and it keeps everything absolutely real. So.
How much money in total have you raised?
So just from the two.
No, I mean, total, like total, just from everything you've done, your donations, all of it.
So I'm going to guess, because I asked earlier this year, because everything flows through the Royal LePage Shelter Foundation. So I'm probably over 100,000, I would say, at this point. So between my commission donations and then what I raised from the walks, and also with just other stuff I do with Cornerstone, I would say if it's not at 100, it's very close.
Recently, there was an event where you were honored. What did that feel like?
they're sneaky over at Cornerstone. So Janelle didn't tell me why I was going last week, and they just said that they were being honored for stuff that for fundraisers that I was involved in, and they wanted me to be there. And only to find out that they were the ones who nominated me for the YMCA Peace Medal. And it caught me by surprise. And you can tell I cry easily when it's stuff like this, because I don't do it for any of that. It's not, I don't give back, and I don't think of all of these crazy ideas or go on these crazy walks for anything other than just to give back. So when the tables get turned and, you know, I'm nominated for such an incredible honor of an award. Yeah. It still brings tears to my eyes.
This is Women Abuse Prevention Month. And there's also a number of important events that are taking place this week to draw attention to the abuse of women. If you could send a message out to residents of Northumberland about this, what would you like to say to them?
I think we just need to listen more. I think nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. And I think, you know, women probably feel a lot more shame than they need to. And perhaps that's why they don't have voices. And that's why they don't come, you know, forward today. And maybe they come forward, you know, years from now. But I think, you know, if we can continue to give women a voice and continue to support Cornerstone so that they can give the women the voice that they may not have right away, I think we'll all be better off.
So what's next for you?
there's always something on the horizon. I'm hoping to plan a video dance party next year when we're actually allowed to dance. You know, kind of bring it back and do a fundraiser for Cornerstone, perhaps in April. So I would say that's kind of at the top of the list. We have I have retired the birds, so I won't be doing the birds anymore. It's a full-time job moving those birds around Northumberland County. So, and thankfully I had Janelle and some wonderful volunteers from Cornerstone help me with that the last couple of years, but there's always something. There's always something going on. We've got International Women's Day also coming up, which is a big fundraiser for Cornerstone. So that will be in March. And I'm involved with that. I sit on the committee there. So we're really looking forward to that event and just getting back to face-to-face and being able to really, you know, enjoy each other's company and raising money and awareness. That's the, at the end of the day, the money is absolutely incredible. And that's what, you know, that's what I'm trying to do, but the awareness piece is huge. So if I can continue to be that voice for Cornerstone and Cornerstone be the voice for the women, I'll always be there.
Lindsay Edwards, thanks so much for talking to me today. That was Lindsay Edwards, a local realtor and fundraiser for Cornerstone. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.